This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Soar, but gas goes down, rents are way up, and mortgage rates are at their highest since 2011. Part of what the buzz is across the land, and you and I are talking about it all. Plus, coming up, a conversation with Jeremy Paulson, our technical wizard for this show, in Fair or Foul, pondering such things as... can you really have NyQuil during the day and function properly? Some people say so. This is important. And parallel parking. Some people do everything they can to avoid it, including drive around in circles where they can easily just pull into a nice wide space. But that's getting tougher and tougher. My name is Kate Delaney. Thanks so much for joining us. If you're a first timer, well, we've rolled out the red carpet. If you've been here for a long time, you know it's always there for you for sure. It is disconcerting to see in this country we're talking about, yay, masks off. People are walking around without masks. People are flying, and some choose to still wear it, but lots of people are posting pictures where they're not wearing a mask, and they're saying, I can breathe. I'm going to see my grandson. I'm going to see my friends. I'm taking a break with my girlfriend. We're going to Cozumel, whatever. That's all I see is people with masks on or people with them off on the planes. But usually the people with the masks off are partying down. You can see the applause, people getting on planes and being very happy about not having to wear masks. Will that all end because of an appeal to a Florida judge's ruling about the masks? We'll see in the next couple of weeks, that's for sure. But as far as COVID is concerned, the place where they're seeing the big increase of COVID is not in the United States, it's in Beijing. In Beijing, there is more COVID restrictions, probably, I don't know this for sure, but probably more than any other place. The reason I don't know it for sure is because not everybody is saying what they're doing in every county and every small town or rural area across the world in some of these countries. Broad strokes, definitely. Beijing has its strictest COVID controls since the very beginning of the pandemic because they're seeing a lot of Omicron cases in other parts of China. So they've got quarantine rules. They've tightened them really incredibly tight at school kids, at care home people, all of them taking mass tests. Anybody in close contact with people, and they're locking down a lot of areas. And there's also controls on those leaving or entering the city because this is, they're saying it's all high risk, and it's the worst that they've seen, and they're seeing it in other parts of the of their country, so they don't want to see that happen. In the United States, what we are seeing as far as COVID cases, we have seen some hospitalizations go up. We have seen more cases. In fact, the weekly average, according to Johns Hopkins University, is up 29.6%, but it is still the kind of COVID where you're not knocked into the hospital like Delta, not meaning that nobody is, but not at those big numbers at all. Right. And the conversation is more about, just like the masks, should I wear a mask? Should I not wear a mask on a plane, even though I don't have to? What about a second COVID booster? Because this happened last week. The feds authorized a second booster dose of the Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna coronavirus vaccines if you are 50 and older. And people who are 12, those who are 12 and older who are immunocompromised, because that's a whole different situation. If you're somebody who has a terrible immune system, of course, everything is a lot different. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention updated their booster guidance. They paved the way for these second boosters to be made available, and they are being made available widely if you're getting that fourth shot, if you even had a shot. I mean, it's such a mixed bag. And then the big question is, which is always the question, there's so much we don't know, is how long does the protection last? And scientists are still studying that question. How long does a vaccine protect you from infection and severe disease? 6 months is pretty much the going number against the most severe outcomes. 6 months. But it's all about those antibodies. And then that role that they play in preventing symptomatic infection and all of that, that's the conversations that are also being had, and that's the studies that are happening, right? There was a study in Israel. It's one of the only places that has allowed people to get a fourth shot, and it showed that their study showed a second booster increased antibody levels and had increased protection for older people against death in the height of the Omicron wave. So we go back to the thing that I say all the time, what has the pandemic done for us? Figure it out, right? You have to figure it out if, for you, that's the thing to do or not. Or do you believe in what the science is? Or is it too wonky for you? And those are still the conversations that are happening. I say the more you know, though, right? You make up your own mind. Don't let somebody make up your mind for you on any of the things that we ever talk about. I say this. Be informed. Look around. Look at different opinions and pay attention as to what's happening in your area always. This is a big deal. How about the fact that diplomats went to the Ukraine? Yes, yes, it's true. And what's interesting about this, when I say diplomats, our Secretary of State, so some high-ranking diplomats were there. And this was, I'll call it a meeting that's significant, but wasn't on the books, so to speak. Nobody was talking about it. But the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, said during an unannounced trip to Kyiv on Sunday that U.S. diplomats would return to the Ukraine. So Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin went to the Ukrainian capital. They met with Ukrainian President Zelensky and other Ukrainian officials, making them the highest level officials, period, to have traveled to the country since Russia invaded in late February. That's a big deal that they're visiting, right? So when you let me fly on the wall and hear that conversation, what was supposedly discussed was the administration's intention to provide $713 million in foreign military financing to help Ukraine transition to NATO-capable systems. So that's a very big deal. And this is the thing that Putin didn't want, the Ukraine to be in NATO, and this is some of what is being discussed, right? So the press corps didn't travel with the secretaries to Kyiv, so very little is known about that meeting. I'm sure we'll hear more of it probably later this week. And it came at a perfect time when some areas of the Ukraine are really faltering. Fair or foul, next.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes, even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long Sound Neck Heating Pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Time for one of our most popular segments of the week, Fair or Foul.
Signal fair.
After the fair.
It's a hard foul there.
Makes on a fair.
What a hard foul.
Invalid fair signal.
It's a hard foul.
It is a hard foul. Jeremy Paulson joins us. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm good. I'm here.
I love that. I am here.
And before we start, I want everyone to message Kate and tell her that pancakes with brown sugar and milk is a real thing. It's old school. It's a real thing.
No, it's a stupid thing.
Because she
on.
Thinks I'm a weirdo. It's a real thing. You put brown sugar and you pour milk on it. It's an old school thing. My great-grandma did it. Look it up.
Oh. And your great-grandmother was probably amazing, so I don't want to nail her for doing that. But I think that is the strangest thing. Look, there's so many things that you can do with that, like, brown sugar, right? And one of them is not to spoil pancakes with them.
It's a thing. Try it before you knock it. It's a real thing. Email Kate Delaney. Kate Delaney.
KateDelaneyRadio.com. Oh, that's so funny. All right. So, we always get into the food thing here. So since you started down that path, it's interesting. I was thinking about this when the chip aisles are ridiculous now. There's so many chips out there, every kind of chip that you can imagine. And I think it's funny when people think they're eating healthy chips, and maybe it is a little less calories or whatever, but veggie chips, fair or foul?
Fair. I mean, you got to have some kind of healthy substitute, right?
Yeah, there's my vegetables. I'm eating them in a chip.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat them, but I mean,
But why not?
Healthy people might want to eat a healthy right. substitute.
No, if someone's super healthy, you know what they can eat? My nephew was doing this, and he's like so in good shape. He's so thin and tall, but he would eat, and he liked the way it tasted, these sheets of seaweed. And you can get them in the store. They're in packages. It's seaweed. You're eating pieces of seaweed. Ugh. Tasted terrible. I've tasted it.
Sounds like you could just get sushi then.
Right.
Isn't that wrapped in seaweed?
It's wrapped in seaweed, so it would probably taste better. So veggie chips to me are foul because, I mean, it's not foul that you eat them, but don't think you're getting a bunch of nutrition because you are shoving veggie chips in your face. You might as well get potato chips.
Yeah, I totally agree there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you got to have a healthy substitute, so, you know, they're fair to me, whatever. I won't eat them, but they're fair.
All right, so we disagree on that one. Parallel parking, I think it's funny. A lot of people are afraid of parallel parking. It's like a skill, which I don't get that. I grew up learning how to do it. I had to pass my driver's test to do that.
That actually makes me laugh because I've been a delivery driver and parallel parking was the easiest thing in the world. And people when I see someone on the street like having troubles parallel parking, I just want to go over there and be like, hey, let me park for you real quick because it'll take me 5 seconds. Like, it's not that hard.
It's not, but I think it's the depth perception and people being afraid that they can't turn the wheel right and they can't get into the spot and it's not going to measure right and they're going to hit a car or whatever. They can't figure it out.
I think
parallel parking is fair. I think it's easy. We both agree on that. It is fair. Do not get rid of parallel parking. I mean, is it easier to pull in a big wide spot? Of course it is, but it's not difficult. I've had all sizes of cars. I've driven a truck for somebody and I was able to parallel park it, so if I can do that, anybody can do that.
I have to parallel park my truck, so...
Yes, you know.
You know what I'm saying?
It's easy, easy. All right, NyQuil or DayQuil? It's weird. They have these two different versions of it, right? And when you're really sick and you're coughing your lungs up, you just can't take it anymore, right? So what do you do to stop it? A lot of people do the NyQuil or DayQuil thing, but I know people that swear by NyQuil so strong it's perfect. Just take it during the day. Are you kidding? It is like a drug for me. I don't take it very much. So if I took NyQuil, it is foul during the day. I would be dangerous.
I think it says not to.
Yes.
Take it if you're active.
Yeah.
Like if you take it and then go drive a car,
It
feels foul
too.
To me, too.
Yeah, foul.
You shouldn't take NyQuil during the day.
Too potent.
Yeah, it's made to knock you out. Like, that's what it's made to do.
Right, so you can sleep.
To help you rest.
Yeah. It makes no sense. So this is a pretty interesting one. If you ride bikes, then you know there's hand brakes or foot brakes. Which are better? Are hand brakes fair or foul?
It's actually the exact same thing in riding a motorcycle. The handbrake affects the front, and then the pedal brake affects the back. You actually want to use both to stop the quickest. If you want to stop slowly, you want to use the back, but don't press super hard. Like, the back is supposed to slowly stop you, and the front is for abrupt stopping.
Abrupt.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a super abrupt stop when you've been on your motorcycle?
Absolutely. I almost went sideways and ran into the back of the vehicle.
Oh, that's no
I was
good.
On the interstate just booking, and all of a sudden traffic stopped, and I was like, oh, great. Slammed on both brakes and went sideways and stopped sideways right behind the vehicle.
Wow. The handbrakes on the bike, I have the handbrakes and both, but really it's the handbrakes is what we use the most. We're, you know, tooling around and we're hitting the handbrakes.
You shouldn't, though.
Should use both?
Technically, you should use the back more than the front because the front, if the front gets caught, you're going to just flip.
Oh, well, that would not be good.
Yeah, if they get, like, stuck, like... You're just going to go down. The back gets stuck. Like, you can fishtail and keep control, you know? Like, that's what they're made to do.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to ask my bicycle gurus if you are correct in that.
Go ahead, because I know I am.
I know I'm correct. We'll see, because I think that the handbrakes are the best with the bikes, for sure. But maybe I'm doing it incorrectly. How about this one? With or without cheese, anything. Are you like, do you always take the cheese off? You go to Arby's, you go to some other fast food place, you know, it's, you can get stuff with cheese on everything. Do you take, do you only put cheese on certain things, or are you just a cheese dude?
I'm totally a cheese guy. I probably shouldn't be. I've been wondering, because I know you can develop lactose intolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered that, but I'm just like, cheese, extra cheese.
Cheese, please put cheese on everything, right?
Yes, it's horrible.
It is horrible because, I mean, I like cheese too, but it's, cheese is really lays on the cows. Like if you go and get, even if you get subs or get things that have nitrates or aren't the best for you, adding that cheese on it is, it's crazy when you start to look at the packaging, how much that put extra puts on there.
Yeah, and how much of it's processed.
Yeah, that's honestly the problem. The processed food is the hard, it's hard to, I know people,
it's hard to digest.
Yeah, people listening to us, I know, have the same struggle. You have to. I mean, obviously there's probably some people that are incredibly fit and eat well, but I think it's tough to say 100%. I do not eat any junk. That nobody eats. You never ever go through a fast food place. You never ever eat any processed food.
I feel like you only got one life, so you better enjoy it.
Right. So
I'm going to eat my cheese.
I'm going to eat my cheese, too. I'm like you. If it takes off a few years, blame it on the cheese. That's what it gets
right
in my head.
I honestly do not want to live until I'm like 80, 90 anyways.
Right.
So, like, yeah.
See, it depends on how healthy you are, though. Some people live to be 90-something and they, like, are riding bicycles, and they're using both brakes.
This is true.
This is,
I don't know.
So, the winter is starting to go away, especially where you are, but, still cold enough. For guys, turtlenecks, fair or foul?
I think for guys and girls, they're foul.
You don't like turtlenecks? No, I hate the turtlenecks. I don't like them either.
They're
why
uncomfortable.
Is that?
They look uncomfortable. I just don't.
I
just wear a scarf.
Like, yeah, I think they look like they're strangling you. Isn't that weird? It's popular. Turtlenecks are popular. Still.
Just wear a scarf. Because, you know, the difference between a turtleneck and a scarf is when you get inside and you don't want a warm neck, you can take it off.
isn't that the worst? You're sitting somewhere, you're at a crowded place, and you've got a turtleneck that's strangling you and is hot.
There's the idea, removable turtlenecks. Hey, hey.
There you go. It's patented because now you said it on the air, and I'm sure somebody else will run with it. I'm just so positive of that. Okay, so you have a choice here. Stomach ache or headache, which is the one you hate the most?
Both, because they're both aches. probably, I would say headache.
Headache.
Yeah.
Headache's the worst. You can't even work when
it's
really
so
bad. Oh, when you, and then you get paranoid. What is it? Do I have the tumor? Does something, you know, like, because they can come in spurts where you don't have any headaches, and then you get them a bunch.
I heard a lot of, like, blood pressure has a lot to do with headaches, too.
Oh.
You know.
Maybe we better get our blood pressure checked. Next time I'll check in with you on that. All right, thank you, Jimmy, very much.
You're very welcome.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. French President Emmanuel Macron was re-elected according to projections based on early ballot counts, overcoming deep divisions among voters worried about inflation and the impact of immigration on France's national identity. Macron gathering just over 58% of the estimated vote. Congressman Henry Cuellar is urging President Biden to extend a public health rule that currently authorizes deportations of illegal immigrants flocking to the southern border.
This message of lifting Title 42 is going to go straight to the criminal organizations.
Appearing on Fox News Sunday, the Texas Democrats saying the administration is listening to immigration activists, but not the people who would be on the front lines of a migrant surge. Title 42 set to end May 23rd. This is USA Radio News. Amazon workers are continuing to give the thumbs up to unionizing.
Following an unprecedented victory, labor organizers hope to unionize another Amazon facility in New York, this time a sorting facility in Staten Island known as LDJ5. The Amazon Labor Union won a labor vote across the street at a warehouse known as JFK 8. Voting will begin on Monday. The online retail giant has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in fighting unionization efforts. It has filed objections to the voting results from earlier this month, accusing the National Labor Relations Board of involving itself in the vote and the union of engaging in illegal activity. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns in New York.
The Biden administration will push for new COVID-19 funding as Congress returns from recess this week. The push comes after the Senate didn't take up a $10 billion funding package before the Easter break. The White House saying the money is needed to continue the federal response to the pandemic. USA Radio News.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Megan Dilley joins us now. She's written a book called A Poetic Journey Through PTSD. Megan, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Kate.
So tell me about your background and what led you to writing this book.
So I'm actually a physical therapist in New Jersey. I work mainly in outpatient physical therapy, but it's attached to a hospital. And during the heightened part of COVID, obviously it's not over, but during the heightened part in April 2020, a lot of the staff who were we were not treating that many outpatients, we were redeployed to different areas of the hospital. And unfortunately, at that time, I unknowingly got redeployed to the makeshift morgue, which is where the bodies who had died were placed because there was nowhere to put them. And I did that on April 6, 2020. And at the time, I thought I was okay. And then I kind of just didn't know what really hit me. I'm used to seeing a lot and I've been through a lot, and just seeing this and being through this kind of put me in the state of PTSD.
Yeah, wow. So going through that, I mean, you had no idea what hit you. You didn't expect that to happen, right?
No. I mean, at the time, I was supposed to be redeployed somewhere else. And when I got there, they actually were like, oh, do you mind moving the bodies? And I'm kind of like that person that doesn't always know how to say no. And other people were doing it. I felt like I should help out because that time was just so crazy around here anyway. We, in general, didn't really know what had hit us. And I was like, okay, sure. And then I got out there and I was like, whoa, again, I didn't know it hit me. And you know, finished it, did the day there, drove home and was like, okay, I guess, you know, I'll be okay. It's no big deal. And then just started getting these terrible triggers. And I'm not like an overly emotional person, but I started like crying every day and I just didn't really know what was going on in my head.
And so that happens to you. And what do you do to combat that?
I mean, initially, like I kind of told my supervisor, director, and I kept working to kind of put it out of my head, but things weren't getting any better. He had given me the number for a therapist, but I was like, I'm fine, you know, I'll get through this, whatever, it's no big deal. And then things just kept getting worse and worse and worse, and I just didn't know what was going on. I've never experienced anything like this before. And so I called the psychologist, the therapist, who's been great for me, and she just kind of really saved me with everything because I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know how to help myself at this point. And I was continuing to work, but I was still getting these triggers, and I was seeing things, and I was just, noise was so loud. And just going into like a CVS, I would walk in and I would hear a refrigerator noise, but I didn't get that the connection between why that was a trigger and just hearing that noise. And even though it wasn't what I did that day, just the fact that I was in a refrigerator moving bodies and I heard this noise, it's just that connection is an instant trigger.
Yeah. So for you, just and we're going to talk about obviously A Poetic Journey Through PTSD, which you can get on Amazon or Barnes and Noble. But did that give you more understanding of people that struggle with PTSD? Because wow, all of a sudden you get that curveball and you have no idea what's going on and you need help.
Yeah. And it's something obviously I think most people are aware of through war veterans who are involved in seeing a lot of death and seeing these horrific things that they deal with. And then they come back from battle and have these symptoms where, you know, you hear a gunshot and it's just that oversensitivity to things where you hear something that sounds like a bomb and you like duck and cover. And obviously my case is different, but post-traumatic stress disorder is very much a part of healthcare. Firefighters deal with it. Police officers deal with it just from seeing trauma over and over again. This happened to be one instant in my case that kind of set it off. But it's definitely common in other professions.
So you write this book, and tell us about this book and why you decided to go on that journey of calling it A Poetic Journey Through PTSD and putting it out there in the world.
So before I became a physical therapist, I was an English major. I have my BA in English, and I would say every time I did have hard times or hardships, I'm kind of very introverted and I wouldn't really talk about it with people. So I would turn to poetry and writing because I didn't get things out. And this was the same case in this instance. The August after everything happened, I mean, I was journaling, but the August after April 2020, I began to start writing poetry. Things just were in my head. I had to get them out in a different way. And that's when the book started. I would write about a poem a month. And, you know, when I got to the end of it, I mean, I thought about publishing, but not really. It's, you know, I just wanted to get the poems out for me, but I, you know, shared it with a couple people and they're like, oh, you really should maybe think about publishing this, you know, getting out for yourself, but also it can help families who don't really understand people who are going through PTSD and also other people who are dealing with it. Because like when you think of the symptoms, I felt a bit crazy. The noise hypersensitivity that I had that I've never experienced before and panic attacks and I've never had this in my life. And I have seen things and I've seen things in the hospital setting and I've had a lot of physical injuries and things, sports injuries, and dealt with things. But this was just a totally different animal and something I had never experienced before. And when you're going through it, it's really hard to understand yourself what you're going through, but also to have other people understand what you're going through. And that is difficult because you're like, you tell people, but I tell things, I'm like, oh, I'm going through a panic attack, or, oh, that noise is really bothering me. But I talk pretty calmly when I say things. So people are like, yeah, right. You know, they don't get how much this can affect people because you don't show it.
Wow, well said. So from the book, do you have a favorite poem or a favorite line from a poem or something that you just remember that you wrote and it really just stuck with you?
I have a poem. I mean, I can start with one because I think it kind of shows the emotions that you feel and the hypersensitivities that I had, especially with noise. So I was going to start with the Beautiful Symphony.
Let's hear it. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. So the Beautiful Symphony. It starts with a single noise, so slight. A car zooms by. Few hear it. Then another with a single motor that sounds like a drone. Gets louder and louder. More noise chimes in a beautiful symphony. But not to some. It evokes fear, irritation, and the volume can't be turned down. There is no place of solace as you try to press on. It gets worse. It isolates because no one else hears it. But even in isolation, it blares. It pounds in your head. You want to turn it off, slow it down, but can't until you find satisfying noises of peace in nature's path. A bird chirping, a brook calling, which soothes you for at least the moment. With the beautiful symphony of lyrics from another time, where do you find your beautiful symphony?
Wow, that really is truly a gift to anybody who picks up your book and reads it or anybody that reads that poem in general. Well done. And so this was just your feelings. Like you said, you wrote a poem a month.
Yeah, a poem a month, and then I got them all down. I reworked them a little bit, but I kept them pretty close to the original form, pretty raw. Not always the easiest thing to read, but just very realistic to what I was going through, and I'm guessing other people have gone through with PTSD.
Yeah. What do you hope people take away from reading A Poetic Journey Through PTSD?
I hope it will reach an audience of people who maybe suffer from PTSD. To show that, you know, some of the symptoms that they're going through are not abnormal, and other people can relate and deal with that, because that's something I didn't really have when I was diagnosed. And I wish I had had somebody else who could kind of be like, oh, I have similar things, similar symptoms. And then also, obviously, for families of people with PTSD, it kind of gives a little more insight, especially when read or heard out loud, of what someone is going through, because it was very life changing for me. I felt like a totally different person after this. And like I said, I thought I was fine. And then things just, I'd never experienced this, and I felt like a different person. Like, it just, yeah, I'm definitely doing much, much better. But it's I think the other thing about it that I wanted to get out there is, a lot of times, you know, you have an injury. I did kind of write a poem about this, but you have an injury and, you know, you have therapy. I'm a therapist. You do rehab and it gets better. But PTSD definitely comes in waves and it gets better. But anytime you add more stress to your life or overdo in some way, it just gets worse and worse and worse, and you can't shut it off.
Wow.
And that's a little different, being more of like a mental illness versus a physical, which I deal with on a daily basis with patients. Just getting that understanding. I'm a pusher by nature, and just being like, you know what? Once I start getting symptoms, I need to back off. Either that other people don't see them, you know, right. you need to stop, or else it just escalates and then you can't stop it.
Wow. Incredible. We have just a couple of seconds left. Tell us your website.
My website is www.megadillyauthor.com.
Wonderful. And you can get the book on Amazon, there, Barnes & Noble. Megan, thank you so much.
I really appreciate it, Kate. Thank you so much for the interview.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Canberra, Australia, for a conversation with T.G. Willis. His book is called Entity, Beings, Purpose, and Malevolence, which is such a curiosity to me, and you'll find out more about that. T.G., thanks so much for coming on.
Great. Great to talk to you. Thank you for having me.
What was it that tripped you in this direction? How did you decide, I'm going to write about this, and I'm going to write this book? What made you go in that direction?
I wasn't looking this way at all, really. It kind of fell into my lap. I was just bopping along as a good little old boy, and suddenly something caught my attention, and I listened to Simon Sinek speaking about the millennial generation and why the kids of the millennial generation are so different to the kids of the past. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. And one of the things he spoke about was failed parental strategies. And I thought, well, that's good. I spent a bit of time thinking about that. And something along the line tripped me into Jordan Peterson, the Canadian professor. And I thought, well, he has an interesting guy. And I listened to him, and I noticed a lot of his speeches spoke about malevolence. Life is malevolent. And I thought, well, is life malevolent? And then I happened to be reading the book of Isaiah in the Bible at the time, and I saw there that God said, look, I sent you a whole bunch of problems. I sent you destruction and desolation and famine and sword, and And I thought to myself, that does sound malevolent, doesn't it? And it made me look back at, it reminded me of Revelation chapter 6, where it talks about four horsemen. And those descriptions, although the wording is slightly different, those are the exact exact description of those horses. And I realized then that these horses are just a fancy way of a picturesque way, I guess, of speaking about the things that come upon the earth. And as I looked up, I went back into Isaiah, and I saw that God said, if only you had listened to me, it wouldn't be necessary to bring all these things on you and destroy you. And I thought to myself, this sounds like some sort of a plan. And as I went through the Bible, I started to discover that these horsemen, I'll use that term, they appear in a lot of places, and they are actually part of what's shaping us through our history. And the good news is, I think I read in Revelation 24 that all this will be removed. This is part of the curse that was originally put onto Adam. And I found it quite fascinating. And that's what made me start looking into the background of all this sort of stuff.
So when you decide to write it, was it fun for you, or was it a journey that had purpose for you to put this all together?
Oh, it was totally fascinating. I thought, yeah, well, I'm still learning. As I read through, I'm learning more and more as we go. But it was just something that I never stopped to think about. Look, I've been in church 60-something years, so, and I've never actually bumped into all this before. It's the first time in my life. So totally fascinating to me.
Well, no kidding, fascinating to all of us. So when somebody picks up your book, and we're speaking with T.G. Willis, and the name of the book is Entity, Beings, Purpose, and Malevolence. If somebody picks up your book, tell us more about what they'll find in the book.
Well, there's a whole lot of information, but I think the most important thing is God has planned for us to achieve a certain level. And he gave us instruction of a moral code, a moral law. It's become known as the law, and in some ways it is. But it's things like make God supreme in your life. Don't rest your hope in anything or anyone. Don't do evil and blame it on God. Make the Sabbath special. Honor your father and mother. Don't kill murderously. Leave other men's wives alone. Don't take what is not yours. Don't speak untruth about anyone. Don't hanker after anyone or anything that is not already yours. And I realized that if you were to obey that moral code, your society would live in peace. There would be no wars between countries. But it's not really obeyed these days. Nowadays, we like to think it all out for ourselves, make our own decisions, and we end up in big conflicts because we don't obey what God instructed. Do this, follow these moral laws.
Wow, and so just listening to you go through that, you're right. So much of that really applies today. You might, it might be said differently, but it is exactly some of what we see, isn't it?
Oh, very much, very much. it's because we like to try and work things out for ourselves that we end up in all sorts of trouble. God said, look, just do what I'm telling you. And everything will go peacefully for you. He said, if you don't do what I'm telling you, you can end up at the tail and not the head. He said, if you do what I'm telling you, I'll make you the head and not the tail. And we see Jesus Christ came to earth, and he demonstrated how to live. He demonstrated the attitude, and he actually got annoyed with the Jews because they weren't doing as he said. And he rose up and he said, look, I've had you guys. I wanted to gather you as a chicken, as a hen gathers its chickens under its wings, to give you warmth and comfort, to protect you, to lead you onto something worthwhile, to do what I've called you to do. But you wouldn't. You resisted. You wouldn't come near me. So he said, I've had you in chunks. Go your way. Your house has left you desolate, he said in Matthew 23. Well, in AD 70, Rome came and destroyed the temple and dispersed the Jews throughout the world. And he actually, well, God actually allowed the Muslim mosque to be built on the temple site to make sure that he never got back to that again. And he started to work with the Gentiles. And Jesus, the Gentiles believed and started to work with the statements that Jesus gave. And the Western civilization came into being through that. And, well, I suppose in America, when the Constitution was based on the sayings, the ideas of Jesus Christ, and he's and using that formula that God gave back in Deuteronomy, if you do what I'm telling you, I'll make you the head and not the tail. And so because America was based on this, the ideas of Jesus Christ, they became the head and not the tail. Yeah, very interesting.
It is very interesting. And so along those lines, what do you hope people take away from reading this book?
I would like people to realize, look, we walk around and we think, what's the purpose of life? What am I doing here? What's this all about? Where are we going? And, you know, we are actually clueless. But when you study it from God's point of view, he has a purpose. He is trying to define a group. Well, he says in the last book of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 3, he makes a note of people who are talking about him constantly, who are thinking about him constantly, who are caught up in the things of God constantly. And he says, he makes a note of them. He says, from these I'll pick my treasures. And so, yeah, all I'm trying to do is show that there's something more than just bungling around life, wondering what's going on. God has a plan, and get to know that plan, because that plan includes you.
Wow, perfect place to end this. Get to know that plan. T.G. Willis, Entity, Beings, Purpose, and Malevolence. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Leaving you with this one this time around. Imagine if you were renting a home in a beautiful area, say Tahoe, and this is where it is actually, and you hear kind of a purring noise when you're asleep at night or during the day, but you're not really sure what it is. But then suddenly the noises get a little bit louder, so you're a little bit concerned. But you're just, again, renting the place, so you call a neighbor. You ask the neighbor, hey, are you hearing this? Nope, everything's quiet for them. So they suggest, well, why don't you call the Bear League? The Bear League comes out to investigate. Why? Because sometimes, I guess, a bear could hibernate in Tahoe underneath your house. I think it's kind of unusual, especially when they discovered 5 of them. Can you imagine? You're asleep, you're walking around in your house, you have no idea what's underneath, but the purring is 5 bears, a giant mama bear and her 4 cubs. Wow. Luckily, no damage to the house. No damage that I know up to the psyche of the renter, or perhaps because they chose to remain anonymous. But I think it is a wild story. I'm going to leave you on that note. Have a great one, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to this version of the show. Remember, you can always send me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.